Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Over 40 years ago, when I'd been a Lutheran pastor less than 10 years, I led a series of ecumenical preaching workshops in Toledo, Ohio, and in Lansing, Michigan. The workshops for pastors were titled Springboards for Preaching. They were from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. In January of 1987, the workshop covered the seasons for preaching of Lent and Easter. By that time, word of my workshops had spread a bit. That January, the religion editor of the newspaper, the Toledo Blade, showed up at my seminar. I was a bit intimidated, to say the least. Every once in a while, I would see her writing something down as I was speaking. That made me very nervous. What was going to appear in the paper? As it turned out, she wrote a very positive, full-page newspaper article with a photo of me and some of the other pastors. Wow, did I look so young back then? Just looked at that photo last night. And that article had a good-sized section on today's gospel reading. The editor wrote, and I quote, "For Lent's second Sunday, Pastor Minio discussed the familiar phrase, to be born again, which he said would better be translated as born from above." Now, back in the day, John chapter 3, verse 3, which we heard today, was almost always translated with the phrase, born again, or born anew. It was a popular phrase back then and still is today. I challenged that translation and I challenged the misuse of that phrase, born again. No wonder it appeared in the newspaper. 2 years after that seminar, the NRSV translation was published, the translation used by most Lutheran churches. You can imagine my excitement when verse 3 was translated as we heard it today. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. The other day, I checked 65 translations. 45 of those translated the Greek as born again or born anew. Only 15 translated the Greek as born from above. 5 translations used both. Even though it's still not the most common translation, there's no question in my mind that Jesus meant that we are to be born from above. Jesus explained it. We're born of water and the Spirit. So when someone asks me, and I've been asked many times, if I'm born again, I answered them, I've been born from above. Now, I don't think that Nicodemus misunderstood what Jesus was saying. By asking about, can a grown man literally undergo physical birth again, entering his mother's womb? I think Nicodemus was being sarcastic. We don't get that tone when just reading the words. I think he was being sarcastic. I even think he was mocking Jesus a bit. The idea of spiritual rebirth, as Jesus meant it, didn't make sense to this Pharisee. The Pharisees fixated on the spiritual life taking place in the physical world. What was most important was following law. And Jesus was talking about following spirit and being born of the Spirit. Jesus was talking about having a connection with the presence of God. The daily lives of disciples are to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit from above. To be a disciple of Jesus means to be connected with heavenly things, as Jesus said, to be connected with God. To be a disciple means to have our lives centered in the Spirit of God. The writer of that 40-year-old newspaper article noted that I said we shouldn't be judgmental of those with different religious experiences. I appreciated that I was quoted as saying that, because being judgmental is not the way of the disciple. It's ironic and still a bit humorous to me that the following week in the letters to the editor, one writer was extremely judgmental about my different teaching. Key to the teaching of Jesus is the verse that follows the famous John 3:16, which we heard, God so loved the world. John 3:17 says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. And that means that disciples of Jesus don't have a mission to condemn. If condemning wasn't the mission of Jesus, it's not the mission of his disciples. Well, talking about today's gospel reading in that 1987 preaching workshop, I shared a springboard, an illustration that had recently appeared in our Lutheran magazine. I've told this story countless times over the years in my ministry, in sermons and in conversations. It goes like this. Two people were sleeping on a totally dark night, one inside a cave and the other outside. The darkness was complete and the same for both. The one sleeping inside the cave came out of the cave at noon, high noon. The sun was bright and it was powerful and it was overwhelming. It was hard for the eyes to adjust. And this dazzling experience would be one that was unforgettable. Now, the other person sleeping outside the cave awakened slowly through the morning, seeing a beautiful sunrise. Through the morning, the sun gradually got brighter and brighter. And by noon, this person's eyes had already adjusted to the light, to the bright noon sun. Now, both persons in this story were at the same place at the same time, noon. The sun was the same brightness for both of them, but they arrived in different ways. The point is clear. We don't have to have a dazzling religious experience to be a disciple. It's possible to come to the Son of God, to the sun, to high noon, gradually. However we get to noon isn't really the most important part. What's important is how we travel from noon through the rest of the day. What's important is how we travel through the rest of our lives, growing as disciples. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night in darkness, and Jesus cast light into that darkness. And Nicodemus gradually received that light. He hadn't received it then. Jesus makes that point that he didn't understand. He didn't accept the testimony, but he gradually did. In chapter 7 of John's gospel account, we learn that Nicodemus defended Jesus against the other Pharisees. And in chapter 20 of John's gospel, Nicodemus assisted at the burial of Jesus. We don't condemn Again, we don't condemn the Nicodemus who asked questions in darkness, who didn't get it. Jesus didn't condemn him. He taught him. So it is with us. We don't condemn. We teach. We wait. We don't condemn. When we receive the light of Christ, we grow as disciples. From noon through the rest of our days. We travel life's journey with what Jesus gives us. We travel life's journey with grace, with the forgiveness that Jesus gives us, with a community of disciples, each other. We travel with each other. Now, most of you know that in my sermons, I sometimes share my flaws and my shortcomings. You know how that helps me? It's a reminder to me, and it's a challenge for me to grow as a disciple. I've been teaching for over 50 years that growing as a disciple of Jesus takes a lifetime. We never stop growing as disciples. Our calling today is to grow as disciples. Lent is a time for us to examine our flaws, to examine our shortcomings, to examine our sins. Lent is a time to bring all of these to the foot of the cross. And there, in the darkest moment of human history, we receive light. We receive divine grace. We receive forgiveness. There at the foot of the cross, we receive salvation. In today's gospel reading, Jesus compared being lifted up on the cross to the time in the wilderness when Moses lifted up a serpent. And as the people looked upon that bronze serpent, they were healed. One of my favorite Bible verses is John chapter 12, verse 32, where Jesus says, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." The serpent was lifted up in the desert for the healing of the people. Jesus was lifted up on the cross for the salvation of all people. So from the moment we stand at the foot of the cross, from that moment on, we grow as disciples of Jesus. We grow as people of forgiveness, kindness, peace, shalom. We grow as people of love. From the moment we stand at the foot of the cross, we grow as disciples, serving others, caring for others, forgiving and loving one another. Let us pray. Think of your flaws, weaknesses, sins, and in the depths of your soul, come to the foot of the cross and listen to the voice of Jesus. As you examine yourself, he says, "I forgive you." And without judging, think of the flaws, weaknesses, and sins of people in your life. And in the depths of your soul, come to the foot of the cross, praying that these people can hear the voice of Jesus with you. "I forgive you," he says. Oh, think of the whole world. There's an abundance of sinners and hateful people, people who judge, evildoers, abusers. In the depths of your soul, come to the foot of the cross, praying that they will repent and hear the voice of Jesus. "I forgive you." Let us hear the voice of Jesus from the cross. Let the words of Jesus abound in this place and everywhere. Let these words of Jesus marinate in our souls. Jesus says, "I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you."